And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for all you've done for us. Lord, thank you that when the storms do come, Lord, we find a place of rest, Lord, under your wings. Lord, tonight, Lord, we ask you to be with our pastor. Lord, as he presents this truth that you have for us tonight, Lord, may we learn how to live peaceably with one another. Lord, may we take the truth that is given tonight. Lord, may we not just hear it and receive it, but Lord, may we put it into practice, Lord, into each and every one of our lives. Lord, we love you. We need you tonight, Lord. Please speak to our hearts. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Get your Bibles out. Turn to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. I want to help you tonight. This is kind of be one of those lessons that's a two-edged sword. It's going to cut both ways, going in and coming out, all right? So get ready. Here we go. Romans chapter 14, we're going to read verses 12 through 15. And I want to help you tonight. I really do. I think for some of you, this will be a review in some ways, but it'll be eye-opening in others. For others, it'll be brand new. For others, it may be healing. And I think this is vital to all of us. Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably? Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you tonight. God makes it very clear, probably one of the most important verses in the scripture to a Christian is Romans chapter 14, verse number 12. If you've not committed it to memory, you should. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. We live in a world of blame everybody but myself. We live in a world, and listen to me very carefully, modern psychology wants us to blame our past. They want us to blame our upbringing. They want us to blame our parents. They want us to blame mama didn't burp me the right way, or daddy laid me on my back instead of my front, so my back and my head's flat and my nose is long. It doesn't matter what we want to blame in the past. Well, we get into this, there was a struggle between mom and the baby. No, the Bible says every man will give an account of himself to God. Sometime you have to grow up and put your big boy pants on or your big girl skirt on and decide you're going to be an adult no matter what your past is. Amen. Everybody doing okay? That's not what the world says today. Matter of fact, they want to blame everybody. I saw in the news just in the last week or so, some Hollywood whore has a 13-year-old son that got made fun of because he was wearing dresses to school, and she thought it was so deplorable but that her son couldn't wear his dresses to school. Oh, God bless his pitiful little heart. I thought, it's a good thing. I'm glad somebody had enough guts to make fun of him. That's the only thing I was happy about in the whole story. Now, you'll not be able to stand before God and blame others when you face God. When you stand before God for what you did, you're not going to be able to say, well, my mama didn't let me. Well, my daddy did that. Or you can't stand there and say, well, because of how bad my son was, this is the way why I did. You're going to give an account to yourself to God. Ouch. Sorry. Yeah, break the microphone myself. There we go. Now, you're not going to be able to blame others when you face God. Man, since the first sin, has been blaming others. God, the woman that thou gavest me. God, Adam blamed Eve and God for the fact that he sinned. Now, the woman was blaming the devil. But Adam was blaming the woman and God. God, if you didn't make her, I wouldn't have done that. How'd you like to have faced God and said that? You see, God held him personally responsible. God said to Adam, no, I hold you responsible. By the way, did you ever notice Eve ate of the fruit first, but Adam's attributed with the sin? He was standing there when she did it. He didn't protect her. It was his fault. It was the leader's fault for allowing her to do it. I, as a leader, am accountable for how I lead others. If I lead someone to do wrong, I am accountable. The follower, if they didn't know better, is not accountable. Now listen to this very carefully. If I teach a child that wrong is right, that child is too simple to understand that wrong is right. And they begin to believe that wrong is right. That's how a second grader could look at my wife last week and say, I hate God, God's mean. That child's been taught that God is bad. Everybody doing okay? You see, the leaders in that child's life will be held accountable for what they teach. Preachers that get up and preach out of sincerity, but they preach wrong doctrine, are sending people to hell, and God will hold them accountable for that.
That's right.
Those people will still die and go to hell if they don't get saved. But that leader will suffer more punishment because he led people down the wrong path. Now, listen to me very carefully. I then, as a leader, face God for how I lead people. Listen to this. Followers are accountable for how they follow. In the last, 5 days, I have counseled a couple I have never met by phone for 2.5 hours. Trying to put their marriage back together. Both of them independently want to blame each other for the problem. I've quoted Romans chapter 14, verse number 12 to both of them. And said, I don't want to hear about the other person. How's your walk with God? Man, does he get quiet in a hurry. You see, followers are accountable for how they follow. As a follower, how I follow and my attitude toward my leader is what God will judge me for. I was an assistant pastor for 23 years. I worked for several different men. By the way, I worked for two men that changed doctrinally while I worked for them. That does not mean, listen to me, I did not change doctrinally because they said to change. But I cautiously, wisely stepped away from my duties. It didn't happen the first day. It didn't happen the first week. That would not have been wise, nor would it have been loyal. But I quietly slid away as I needed to. You say, why? Because it wasn't my job to cause trouble. It was my job to lead my family right. I did all that I could without changing doctrine, and I did not change doctrine. It got so bad in the first church we were in, Brother Hiles called me, and to this day, I still don't know how he ever found out what was going on. He called and said, Greg, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this, I know this. One question, do you want to stay? My wife didn't know those five things. There were only two people on the earth that I knew them, and that was the pastor and me. I hadn't even told my wife. And a 24, 25-year-old, scared to death preacher out in the middle of Southern California said, Brother Hiles, if I'm loyal to principle, I'll be disloyal to the pastor. And if I'm loyal to the pastor, I'll be disloyal to principle, and I'm not changing my principles for him, for you, or for anybody else. And I thought, why did you just say that? And I waited. He said, all right, I'll help you. I said, what's that mean? He said, I need you to go home and tell your wife that Brother Howe's going to help you. I said, preacher, she doesn't even know these things are happening. He said, say what? You haven't told her? I said, no. He said, you need to talk to her. I said, okay. So we had a long talk. It wasn't a little talk with Jesus either. It was a long talk. Oh, we were in a fight for our life. Oh, it hit the fan. Oh, it hit the fan good too. I mean, I got up and preached in chapel on Monday, and on Wednesday night, the pastor got up, and during the Wednesday evening service, the staff would leave and sit by our families for one service during the preaching portion of things. And he got up and said, some people believe this, but this is the way we're going to do it. He took my exact outline and preached it in reverse. About 2/3 of that auditorium had heard me preach it. And my wife said, I said, just sit still. Closing prayer, we're sliding out. Oh, it was exciting. Let me tell you. You see, what is that? I was accountable for how I follow. Now, I want you to understand something. As an assistant pastor, I've had to face that. You have to sometimes just quietly follow. But I'm also accountable as a Christian. Now watch this. This is where we're going tonight. To not become a stumbling block to anyone on purpose. You see, a stumbling block is not always something that's wrong. But it could, in some cases, trip somebody else up. Could cause somebody to fall back to where they came from. There are times that we need to realize that what may be not wrong for us could cause someone else to trip up a little bit. Now, listen to this very carefully. That means this. There are times we need to realize that not everything right or wrong is the same for every person. By that I mean this. Right and wrong don't change scripturally. I agree with you. But there are some that can tolerate being closer to wrong without it being wrong to them. Folks, let me show you what I mean. Someone who struggles with booze and they just got off the bottle, I'm not going to take them to Ruby Tuesdays to eat because there is a bar there. So I won't take Larry and Cherry there. No, I won't take, because they struggled with alcohol, so I wouldn't take them there for right now. Now, I think they're strong enough, but I would ask them first. But I'm definitely not going to take Monk. She drinks like a fish. But anyway, but, you know, there are some people that they just got off of the, or out of that lifestyle, and for them to be even near it would bother them. Folks, you could put any liquor in front of me you want, is all it's going to do is make me gag. I have no desire, never have had any desire, to drink any of it. You couldn't tempt me with booze. To me, it's the dumbest thing in the world. I wouldn't eat out of a garbage can. Why would you drink garbage out of a bottle? You just don't do rotten stuff. Unless your mother gives it to you for breakfast when you're a kid. Because the grape juice went sour. Should have known when it goes. I'm going to pay for that one. So, now, that doesn't mean, though, that if I take my wife there that it's sinful. Y'all see what I mean? It's not sinful to be there. It could be a stumbling block for someone if I took them there. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. In other words, there are some things that may tempt you that don't tempt me. There are some things that may tempt me that does not tempt you. So we must be careful when we're dealing with somebody. For instance, if my wife and I were going to take Marsha out to eat, we're not going to take her to the local barbecue pit to have barbecued pork. She'll drink the barbecue sauce, maybe, but that's it. You say, why? Because that would be a stumbling block to her. So I don't. Does that make sense to everybody? It's not that it's sinful, but it could be a stumbling block to someone. Now, I think when we're over in Iraq and Iran and all those Muslim countries, I love the fact that our soldiers wrap their bullets in bacon before they fire them at them. Now, I shouldn't have said that, but it was funny. For instance, I love hunting. Hunting season's upon us. I love successful hunts, and I love the success of seeing an animal harvested. Whether I do it or somebody else, I enjoy that. Now, listen to me. Not everybody does. I make sure that, for instance, if I harvest a deer, when I put it in my truck, I don't mount it to where the head's sticking up over the tailgate so everybody can see it. With the blood dripping out his nose, going... Yeah, it doesn't matter. I honestly put it down to where nobody sees it. You say, why? Because there are people between where I am and where I'm going that would be offended by that. And some that have a bad taste for hunting, that only creates that taste to get deeper and deeper. Right. I'm not bloodthirsty, but I enjoy hunting. Now, wait a minute. There's an appropriate way to do it. Do I have the right to mount that thing and tie its head up on the tailgate looking like this at everybody? I do have the right to do that, but I choose not to be a stumbling block to somebody else because of it. You've helped me haul a couple hundred deer. When we would bring them home, I was getting ready to pull them out of the truck. If there were somebody turning down my street, I left the tailgate shut and waited till they passed. Because I didn't know who did and who didn't like hunting in the neighborhood. Does that make sense, everybody? Well, I don't have to do that. I know you don't have to, but I chose to. I didn't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. Now, tonight I want to show you how to live peaceably with people who are, and so that you don't have to be a stumbling block to someone else. Here we go. Number one. We are not to purposely cause someone to stumble. We are not to purposely cause someone to stumble. I love Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 is a very an amazing passage of scripture. And just look at me for a second here. When you purposely cause someone to fall, if Brother Josh and I decided we're going to try to get Brother Scott to fall, we knew what his weakness was. I said, let's have some fun. Do you know if we did do that, that's called evil.
Yes, sir.
When you purposely try to trip someone up, by the way, it doesn't have to be a saved person. It could be your boss at work.
That's right.
It could be another, it could be a lost person. I'll get back at them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will pay. When you take God's place and try to get back at somebody, you have become a stumbling block to somebody else. Well, you don't know how they treated me. Oh, so you're going to be a stumbling block to them because they were a stumbling block to you? That makes a lot of sense. If we yield, it's our fault. But God will judge for what we do. Now listen to this. If I choose to make him fall, God judges me for that. Now listen to this. And I don't have time to take you there, but Numbers chapter 16, verses 1 through 3. It's the story of Korah and Moses. And Korah got up in front of the congregation and said, Moses, you're trying to take too much leadership upon you. You're trying to play God to everybody. Why don't you split it up and let people like me take the leadership? If you remember what happened to Korah, God came down and opened up the earth, and Korah and his followers fell in, and God squished them back in the dirt. They had a slit trench burial real fast. Say, why was that? Because they were trying to destroy Moses. They were becoming a stumbling block to the people from following Moses. That uses the word offense. Folks, the word offend is misused today. Amen. Hurt feelings doesn't make you offended. Just because your feelings get hurt does not mean you are offended. Offended means this. Somebody, stand up here. Somebody is trying to get from there to here. Come through me. And I am standing here offending him, trying to keep him from coming through. I am preventing him from doing what he is supposed to do. Offense isn't hurt feelings. If I say, you got a sissy tie on. Okay, if it hurts his feelings, fine. Probably hurt his wife's feelings because she probably bought it for him and I'm in trouble now. He doesn't have a sissy tie on. I won't tell you who does. But Brother Harry does. No, anyway. Now, wait a minute. Just because your feelings get hurt doesn't mean you're offended. You have hurt feelings. Just because your feelings got hurt doesn't stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. Did you know you can do what you're supposed to do with hurt feelings?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Boy, that's good stuff. It's most often done by those doing wrong that don't want to do wrong themselves. When you purposely become a stumbling block to somebody, you're tired of doing wrong by yourself, so you want to get somebody to do it with you. That way, if you get caught, you're not the only one going down. Make sense? Years ago, oh, by the way, they often use statements like this. If you're my friend, you'll do this. If you're my friend, you'll do, oh my. When those opening lines come up, I go, stop. I don't even have to know what it is. Years ago, I had a family trying to get our church members to move out of our church to another state. They would say this, if you love my family, you would do this. Well, I found out about it. And I came down, fee, fi, fo, fum. I had me two hands of a bum, let me tell you. They were, well, you need to go to here and go on vacation and consider moving your family there if you love my family. You talk about snot on a booger, there I was. They became a stumbling block to many people. And I shut it down fast. Oh, by the way, a couple dozen families ended up leaving our church over it. Some of them are out of church and away from the will of God totally. What good did it do? Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
They may try to lead you to do something that they don't see as wrong, but you see as wrong. For instance, they're playing music in their car that you know you should not listen to. They say, oh, it's not that bad. Oh, yeah, if it's bad, turn it off. Or you say, let me out. Somebody sent me something tonight I thought was funny. It said, you know you're a bad driver if Siri says, stop in 400 feet and let me out. I thought that was funny. I'm sorry. Let's say that somebody's playing music that should not be played or that you don't think you should be listening to. Guess what? Speak up and tell them to turn it off.
That's good.
Oh, it's okay. No, it's not. Some type of entertainment. They're going to want to go somewhere where you know you should not go. Guess what? Don't go. I know people who have changed doctrinally. Oh, they haven't changed that much. You know, it might not look that much right now, but give it 5 or 10 years. We'll see where they're at. And you're going to be so off base, you don't even know where you're at. So, number one, we're not to purposely cause someone to stumble. Number two, I love this statement. Are you ready? Our freedom does not need to become a stumbling block. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, just a few pages over from where you're at. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, look at verse number 9. And we got to hurry because I got a few more points here. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Ooh. Notice what it says. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block. Just because it's not wrong to do doesn't mean everybody has to do it. State of West Virginia, we have a constitutional carry law. That means anybody over the certain age is allowed to conceal carry a handgun. I'm for that. Just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean everybody has to do it.
Amen.
Not everybody has to like it either.
That's right.
Everybody doing okay? Now, just because you have the right to do it doesn't mean that everybody has to do it. I was in a church, I won't tell you what state. They were Constitution carry. I walked into the church and I saw probably a half a dozen men walking around with two pistols loaded to the hilt, 45s and 9mm sticking out outside their coats, not wearing coats on, just walking around like the wild, wild west. And the pastor was having trouble getting visitors to return to church. And he said, I just can't figure something out. I said, who visited Sunday? I said, pick somebody. And we did. I said, you let me do the talking at the door. He said, okay. So I went, introduced myself as being from out of state, visiting this church. And I said, so how was your experience? Well, I don't think we'll be back. I said, can you tell me why? I said, pastor, just take a stroll. Walk back to the car. I said, just get out of here. And that dear lady and dear older man began to tell me, it's too much like the wild, wild west out there, man. Guns everywhere. We weren't sure what was going on. Looked like some cult or something. I said, I can promise you one thing. They're not. I said, but I understand what you're saying. I said, if you'll let me, I think I can help that pastor. And if you'll give me this week and you try next week, I think you'll see something different. Are you sure? I said, I promise you. Okay. I went back, sat in the car, we drove off. Went down the road and I said, pull over. He said, what for? I said, give me both of your guns. I began to tell him what that couple told me. I said, by the way, this person and that person and that person and that person that I saw in your church need to do the very same thing at church. Yes, you have the right to conceal, but do me a favor. Conceal it. Don't walk around like the Wild West. Not everybody likes it. I said, yes, it's your right to carry. I said, by the way, I'm for it. I said, if I had my permit, I'd be carrying here. I said, I'm working on it. And I got mine. Mine's in. Amen. Just waiting for him to call me back for the official paperwork. Now, wait a minute. I'm for that right, but it doesn't mean we walk around with AR strapped to our chest and ankle holsters, two side holsters, one in the back and a knife stuck in your pocket and a dagger down your neck. I'm not going any farther, right? Yeah. You know, just because you have the right to do it does not mean that it's right to do so everybody sees it. Everybody doing okay? All right. By the way, that's what Romans 6, 1 through 12, or 1 and 2 is all about. If you went to Romans chapter 6, don't turn there. I'll get there and have it done before you get there. What shall we say then, brethren? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We're not supposed to live in such a way to where we become a stumbling block to somebody else, even though it's your right. If you read through Romans chapter 14, it's in reference to the first three verses about people that are weak in the faith. Notice the illustration used in verse 14 and 15 about meat. It goes back to verses 2 and 3 and 4. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Notice it's the weak person not eating meat. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. In other words, it's in reference to whether you believe in eating natural things or whether you believe in just killing it and eating it. Amen? God said it doesn't matter which way you believe, but let's not become a stumbling block to each other over this. We shouldn't purposely, knowing that if somebody doesn't like eating a certain meat, take them somewhere where that's all they serve. Pork. Amen? Don't give her pork or bacon. She doesn't know what she's missing, but that's okay. That's her fault, not mine. We'll eat it in heaven. Wait a minute. There are some things that are not sinful. Did you know that eating pork is not sinful? But some people don't do it. Did you know that I can't stand boiled peas? Now, it's not sinful to eat them, but I think it's pretty close. All right? When you squeeze it and it looks like a rabbit that turned green, it's not good, all right? Now, wait a minute. I have the right to say mean, controversial things, but why should I become a stumbling block to somebody? There are some things I choose not to say in the pulpit on purpose. Say why? Because I don't want to become controversial. I don't want to become a stumbling block to somebody. I'll use this because it's used here. Natural medicine versus what you would call doctors or chemical medicine. You say, well, natural's better. Did you know the chemicals came out of the same ground your natural stuff came out of? They didn't create it out of nothing. I'm not saying one's better than the other. If it works for you, great. If you choose to eat tree bark and drink swamp water, have at it. I'm not doing it. I'll go to the doctor and get a pill. I'm not eating tree bark and drinking swamp water and that green, barley green, whatever you call that stuff that looks like it came out of a baby diaper. I am not swallowing that. I don't care how healthy you think it is. Throwing up is not healthy. And that would do it. I've pulled stuff out of deer guts. It looks just like that. I am not putting it down the hatch. Now, wait a minute. You choose to? Have at it. Drink all of that stuff that you want. I'm not doing it. Oh, it'll make you feel better. It might make you feel better, but it's not going to make me feel better. If something's hurting bad, I'm going to take an ibuprofen or an Aleve. You say, why? You shouldn't do that. You ought to. Well, you hurt like that, you do what you want to do. When I hurt like that, I'm going to do what I want to do. And we're not going to criticize each other and become a stumbling block over it. But if you know they're doing natural stuff, don't offer them aspirin every day. Let them have their bottle of vinegar and let them go. Which, by the way, is not natural because it's rotten. It's just pre-wine. Oh, it's natural. No, it doesn't. Vinegar doesn't hang from the tree. It's rotten apples. Hate to disappoint you. It's the stage before it becomes wine. Bad wine, they'll tell you, tastes like vinegar. Say why? Because it didn't sit there and ferment long enough. Boy, that's good stuff. Certain foods, whether you should eat them or not eat them. Whether you ought to cook your meat all the way or eat it rare like the preacher. Well, you say, well, you're going to die young. At least I'm going to die happy. I don't give a rip. You eat it the way you like it. You can chew leather all you want. I want mine done a certain way. You can do yours a certain way. I'm not going to criticize you. My wife likes hers medium well. I like mine rare. I start hers, and 10 minutes later, I put mine on. I just learned how to do it. Or I start mine, take mine off 3 minutes in, and throw it somewhere else and let it stay somewhat above body temperature. Doesn't bother me. If it quivers a little in the middle on its own, it's all right. No, it quit doing that a long time ago. I made sure it was dead before I put it in my mouth. You see, our freedom doesn't mean that, doesn't make us to where we should become a stumbling block to somebody. Number three, I got to hurry. Calvary is a stumbling block to religions.
That's right.
Especially the Jews. 1 Corinthians 1:23. Let me read it to you. It's just a page or two over in my Bible. 1 Corinthians 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. Did you know preaching Jesus and Calvary is a stumbling block to religion?
Yes.
I'm going to tell you why. Because Calvary goes against man's logic. Man's logic is, I must pay my own sin debt. I must be my own righteousness. Calvary says your righteousness is as filthy rags. And you need a savior. The Jewish religion is a proud, arrogant religion. Denominational religion is proud and arrogant. Catholicism. All of it. You say, why? It's based on man's righteousness, not on his righteousness. See, the Jews and religions wanted him to be the king, not the savior. They wanted to be their own savior. They just wanted him to be the king. That's why they said, Hail, King of the Jews. That's why the Jews are waiting for him to come back at the rapture, to be the king of the earth. Not until then will the 144,000 Jewish people become soul winners all over the face of the earth, winning people to Christ during the tribulation for the first 3.5 years. There'll be a 3.5 year revival with 144,000 soul winners, Jewish soul winners that will find the truth. Then literally all hell breaks loose on earth. It ain't going to be very fun. Now, religion is based on works by man. Calvary takes man's works out of the picture. That's what makes Calvary so unappealing to religion. Did you ever notice? We had a lady upset that we didn't have a cross in our church. Oh, how come I said, because he's not there. We ought to put an empty tomb up. It's not the cross, it's the empty tomb. The cross is only one part of it. The empty tomb, he became everything. That's when he put the blood on the mercy seat. Did you ever notice they stop at the cross? Glasses, keys, where's my cigarettes? I shouldn't have said that. But can I tell you something? Why do they do that? Because it is a picture of death, because man wants to be his own righteousness. They don't talk about the empty tomb. Boy, that's good stuff. Now, let me give you two or three more quick little facts and I'm done. How do we treat those who are stumbling blocks to us? Number one, do not become a stumbling block to someone else who is a stumbling block to you. I mentioned that earlier. Listen to this very carefully. If a young man seduces a young lady to become immoral, he is sinning by seducing her. If the young lady yields to him, then the seducer is now a twofold sinner, and the seduced is also. So you have then become, as the seduced, a stumbling block to the one who is seducing you because you did wrong. I didn't say you were the only one doing wrong. The other one did twice as much. But you become a stumbling block to someone else when you yield and trip over the stumbling block. Does that make sense to everybody? It's a little double talk there. Somebody does something mean to you. Your natural reaction is, well, I'm going to get them back. In other words, you want to become a stumbling block to somebody who caused you to stumble. That's baby stuff. That's sitting in the sandbox and somebody threw sand at you, so you pick up two handfuls and throw it back at them. That's what babies do. Everybody doing okay? Man, it's quiet in here. I got to hurry. Number two. Refuse and run away from a stumbling block as quickly as you can. Turn to Psalm 119. Look at verse number 60. Psalm 119, verse number 60. Psalm 119, verse number 60. Let's start in verse 59. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto the testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. Ooh, guess what? That's somebody that's had a tough day. Notice what it said. It said, I made haste to get back to thy law. You see, I made haste to get to right. When stumbling, you see the stumbling block upon you, the best thing to do is turn and go the other way. If you see something that's causing you to, maybe you drive a certain route to work and there's something there that catches your attention, make a diversion and not have your attention diverted every day. Everybody doing okay? My kids, the boys, when they were little, I don't read billboards. I refuse to read billboards because years ago, the filth that's on most billboards ought not be read by male consumption. Everything in this world is sold with a half-naked woman's body. So when we would be driving somewhere, I'd tell the boys, okay, boys, everybody look left. Say, why? Somebody saw something ahead, my wife and my daughter. Look right. Okay. I didn't look all the way if I was driving, just so you know, but focused my attention elsewhere. Say, why was that? We were trying to protect them from what they saw. Then we didn't say, what did you see? What did you see? Your business. Don't worry about it. You say, why? Trying to protect them and help them do right. Wonder how many people would say, look to the right. Okay, what's over here? We're going to look the other way to see what they're seeing. So a delay in obedience always makes obedience harder. Learn to obey immediately, because that delay of obedience could be the difference between life and death, between success and sin. When you start pondering whether or not you're going to obey, you are about to fall. Someone offers you something that you should not do, and you stand there pondering it. Guess what? Eventually you'll give in. It's that quick. You need to learn to, when wrong or a stumbling block is put before you, to immediately refuse it, because if you think about it, eventually you'll justify it in your own mind. Right. Don't travel, number three, or run with those who carry a stumbling block with them. Did you know that I-81 and Route 11 go the same direction, north and south? They go through the same towns, virtually. But did you know that it's faster to travel 81 normally than it is Route 11? You say, why? Because Route 11 has 14,277 stops along the way. You got, you know, you start at Winchester Avenue and go all the way down into Virginia on Route 11, or you jump on 81 here at King Street and go all the way down to Winchester. Guarantee I could be in Winchester eating before you ever get there. You say, why? Because there's too many stops along the way. Watch this. Someone who carries a stumbling block with them stop along the way, seeing who they can trip up. I might pass the same exits in the same towns where they're going, but I don't have to get off at the exit. You have to stop at the stop signs and the stoplights. There might be an exit for it, but I don't have to go there. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Just because there's an exit doesn't... When you're going down the freeway, you don't go down the freeway and get off the exit, go to the end, go across the street, go on the on-ramp, and get back on 81 all the way down. You say, well, I preach, that's stupid. Yeah, that's the way some of you live your life, though. Oh, I saw something. I better get over there. I didn't want that. Let me come back over here. You get off on every exit not knowing where you are. Get on the route, stay on the route. Boy, that's good stuff. We are not to become a stumbling block, and we are not to allow others to become a stumbling block to us. I really believe if you listen tonight, it'll help you. It really will. By the way, did you know we can become a stumbling block to the people that we live with in our own homes? Our attitudes? How we react? If you react the same way every time and the same people get upset every time, maybe you ought to step back and look at that. Well, they need to change. Have you ever thought about changing yourself? Why do you want to be the stumbling block? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder, how do we handle the stumbling blocks in life? I wonder if we need to look at ourselves, whether we're a stumbling block.